Okay, good evening. Welcome back, everybody, to our learning at Shari, 1 week away from the Haseder and the Yom Tov of Zman Chiruseinu, Chag HaMatzos, Chag HaPesach, Chag HaAviv. So this is obviously our last class before Yom Tov. Next week is the Haseder, and so we will resume the Wednesday after Chag. Just I'm making the calendar announcement in all my classes. Okay, so there's no shiur for the Yom Tov, so that means our next class on the secular calendar will be April the 19th. Halavai, the Shana Hazos, B'Yushalayim HaBenuya. Yom Tov ends Thursday night, so that means we will resume shiur the Wednesday night after Yom Tovim. I will post the reminder on the chat as usual. I'm just giving you a little bit of a heads up. So our last class before we break for Pesach, 5783. We are learning as always the Zecher and the Yilui Nishmas and Merim Fund, Allah Hashem, Merim B'Shaim Yitzcha, Kamei the Nisham and Merit Azechira the Tova, and an Aliyah the Tova, and the Zchus of these Divrei Torah that we will share. And of course, we continue to be very grateful and extend our thanks to the Fund family for their generous sponsorship of the Shir, the Zecher and the Yilui Nishmas, their mother, Allah Hashalom. So let us continue our learning Malki Sultan. I know you always like an Irish Eitel. You always have a compliment for me. I was just in the mood this morning. Okay. Anyone who's listening on the recording should have mistaken that. I usually just wear a ticho. That's what I mean. I know Malki Sultan, you always compliment me when I wear a Eitel. Okay, when I wear a ticho also. Okay, fine. I should stop talking and get to the learning so that I say what I mean and mean what I say. Hello. So we are on page 269 of the second Sefer. What we are talking about is being mindful in our tefillah, being mindful in our eating, being mindful in our Torah learning, and that is the section that we are up to, being mindful in our Torah learning. Okay, so that we spoke a lot about contemplation when eating, coming up to Zman Chag HaPesach, very, very relevant, the challenge of being mindful while eating. And then we have the challenge of contemplation when going to tefillah. I'm just going to skip ahead, just about contemplation when tefillah, Rabbi Victor Miller, I'm going to be quoting this. I don't even know if I'm going to get to it tonight. I prepared it. But anyway, he talks about, he's really speaking about the Yetzer Hara. It relates exactly to our learning here because it's about your Yetzer versus Hashem Yetzer, so to speak. There's no verses, but where does he say it? It made me smile. He says, you know, about our Yetzer. He's talking about being Mevater. I'm skipping, but it's one thing about contemplation during tefillah. You didn't sin today, you should ask yourself. You said all of the Psukei Dezimra, and you were thinking about all the great ideas of David HaMelech's words when you said the Psukei Dezimra. You made all of your brachos with Kavana. So that's what this reminds me of, contemplation and being mindful when you're davening. Sometimes, of course, we could go through the tefillah without being mindful at all. So Rav Victor Miller says, do you think you're such a tzaddik? Ain tzaddik b'artosho lo yachta. There's no such thing as a tzaddik in the earth who does not sin. You said all of the psukei d'zirma. You thought about all the great kavanas that David HaMelech had. You said every bracha with kavana. So anyway, we need to be mindful when we eat. We really need to be mindful with everything. We need to be mindful with eating, with tefillah, and we are up to mindfulness when it comes to Torah learning. Okay, fine. Contemplation when approaching Torah study. I'm just reviewing the previous paragraph without Bli Nader. I'm not planning to comment on it. During your hour of contemplation, you should also consider if you want to learn Torah. You should ask yourself, do I want to learn Torah or not? The answer to this too is not definite. Sometimes you do want to learn Torah and sometimes you don't want to learn Torah. If you don't want to learn Torah, so you should ask yourself, why don't I learn Torah? There can be various reasons. Maybe you're too lazy to exert your mind and your body, atzlus, or you might prefer to fulfill your desires elsewhere rather than learning Torah. I was just in the house, so I was very tired this afternoon. So much work to do, and I was in Flatbush this morning and Atlantic Beach for a different shiurim, and then I had hours of work this afternoon for quickly putting up dinner and Shari Baruch Hashem. So at one point, my son is on Bein Hazmanim now. I don't remember what I needed from upstairs, but I was so tempted to ask him to get it for me. I was working at the computer on a different articles post for a different venue, whatever, for after Pesach. I was really tired. And I was so tempted to ask him to go. And then Baruch Hashem, I stopped myself and I said, why should I ask him to get it for me? It's not something shared for the house. It's not like a communal responsibility, you know, like help me fold the laundry. It's everybody's laundry. Help prepare dinner. Everybody's eating supper. Something specifically that I needed. And I really had a strong Yetzer Hara to ask him to get it for me. And then I realized, why should I ask him to go get it for me? It has nothing to do. He's totally not no gay, but davar. It's something personal for me. Baruch Hashem, he didn't ask him. But sometimes we have laziness. So sometimes you don't want to, you're lazy. You don't want to, I did not. Baruch Hashem, I did not ask him, but I was very tempted to. You might be too lazy to exert your mind and your body, or you might prefer to fulfill your desires elsewhere rather than learning Torah. And this way you should clarify the reasons why you don't want to learn. So in other words, what the Mechaber is saying is that you have to be mindful and you have to think, do I want to daven, don't I want to daven? Do I eat, don't I want to eat? Do I want to learn, don't I want to learn? That we shouldn't just be doing Avodas Hashem and living like robots. We should be living as human beings with contemplation. After that, you should now consider why you do want to learn. So let's say you do want to learn. So now you should think, why do I want to learn taco? Why do I want to go to shir? It's time for shir. Why do I want to go to shir? There may be various reasons. First of all, you might be afraid of being punished in Gehenna if you violate the laws you didn't study, right? So if you don't learn about basar b'chalav, let's say, for example, how are you going to know about basar b'chalav, mixing milk and meat? So only if you learn. So if you don't learn, you don't know. So then you might think to yourself, wow, if I am not learning, I am not accessing certain mitzvahs or halachos, maybe I'm going to go to Gehenna because of the laws I didn't study. You might be afraid of violating the mitzvah to learn Torah and being punished for that. Men have a specific mitzvah, la'asok b'divrei sara, to specifically learn the Shema for the sake of learning. So maybe you'll be punished for not fulfilling that mitzvah. You might be embarrassed of being considered an ignoramus. You'll be somewhere and everybody's talking about Parshas HaShavuah. Everybody's talking about the Yom Tov of Pesach and you have nothing to contribute. You don't even have one Dvar Torah because you never learned. So it might be embarrassing for you if everyone at the Seder has something to say and you have nothing to say. So then you might be embarrassed. You might also seek honor for reaching a certain level of Torah scholarship. You want people to say, wow, look how much Torah scholarship you have acquired. So these are all different reasons why a person might want to learn, which of course are not the Lishma reasons for wanting to learn. Each person is unique. Continue searching until you discover the deepest reason. The deepest reason, quote, is, I want to learn because Hashem said I should learn. That's really what we need to get ourselves to, which is, Ritzoneinu la'asot Ritzoncha. Where is it? Rosh Hashanah 17? Brachos 17a. Seches Brachos, Yud Zayin Aleph, Ritzoneinu la'asot Ritzoncha. So the deepest ratzon of a person is to do what Hashem wants us to do. So you have to keep searching and digging and excavating until you get to the level of, I want to learn because Hashem said I should learn. When I was preparing, this reminded me of an amazing Dvar Torah from Rabbi Zev Lef. Okay? An incredible Dvar Torah from Rabbi Zev Lef. There are two different times, there are two brachos, there are only two brachos that are de'oraisa. All the other brachos, I'm gonna put on the screen for the people at home just because I'm going to be quoting the psukim, even though I know the psukim, but okay, fine. Whatever, I'll just put on the screen for you, okay? So there are only two brachos that are de'oraisa. What are the only two brachos that are de'oraisa? Okay, so one is Birkos HaMazon, which is exactly the pasuk that I pulled up on the screen. It's Devarim 8:10. Parachas in Devarim pasuk Yod v'achalta, you should eat v'savata. V'achalta, when you eat v'savata, you should be satiated. Uveirachta s'shem elokecha, you will bless the Lord God al aretz hatov asher nasan lach. So after you eat and you're full, what a good meal, it was delicious, now I need a nap, Shabbos afternoon, you will bless Hashem your God for the good land that he gave you. So one of the brachos, there are only two brachos d'oraisa. All other brachos are d'rabbanan. One bracha is to bench, what we call benching, Birkas HaMazon. Birkat means to bless. Mazon is sustenance. That's what Birkat HaMazon means. So we bless God for the sustenance of which we ate. What's the only other bracha that is de'oraisa? The only other bracha de'oraisa, one is Devarim 8:10. It's in Devarim also. Hint, it's in Devarim also. Okay. The only other bracha that's de'oraisa is what? I can hear.
Birkas Kohanim?
Oh, that's interesting.
I mean, that is said in the Torah.
1 second. So I'm saying it wrong. Our obligation, there are only two times we are obligated to arise to make a bracha. Okay? I did not say the question properly because of what you just said. I didn't state it well. Okay? You are correct. Because what Abigail said is, and we're coming up to it. Vayikotzav Shmini. We're coming up to the Shivasim Shmina Shmona Lemiluim, which is Rosh Chodesh Nisan, Aaron did Birkas Kohanim for the first time. Birkas Kohanim is also Daraisa. That's for the Kohanim to bless the people. You're correct. It's in Parshas Naso. The text is in Parshas Naso, Perek Vav, the end of Perek Vav, Pasuk Chaf Beis through Chaf Zayin. But when Aaron actually does the Birkas Kohanim for the first time, it occurs in Parsha Shmini, which is the Parsha we're going to read after Pesach. You're correct. Let me rephrase my question. My question is, what are the only two brachos d'oraisa that we, Hamon Am, are required to make? So one is, you're correct, what we call Birkas HaMazon, or benching, Devarim 8:10, v'achalta, v'savata, uveirachta, s'shem elkecha. The only other bracha d'oraisa is Achilas matzah is not a bracha. Achilas matzah is to eat matzah. I'm talking about the bracha, not the act of eating matzah. Because I'll say, when you eat matzah, you should make a bracha. That's not the right, so you won't find that. You'll find that you have shivas yamim matzos tochilu. And in Devarim, I forget which perek, in Re'e, perek tazayin, Sheishas yamim matzos tochilu. So there's a discrepancy about chazal. Okay, so the ma'aseh, you have to eat matzah. The Torah does not say make a bracha or reading matzah. The Torah says make a eat matzah. So it's on my screen for you, okay? For those who are following at home, very, very nice. That's exactly correct. Okay? The other bracha that is the oraisa is right here. Kishe from Hazinu. Kishem Hashem Ekra Havu Gadol Elokeinu. Okay? The name of God, in the name of God, I will call. Havu Gadol, ascribe greatness to our God. And the Gemara says, this is the bracha de oraisa. This is the mitzvah de oraisa to make a bracha before Birkas HaTorah. Okay? No. To make a Birkas HaTorah before learning Torah. Okay? So we have two brachos incumbent upon us that are biblically prescribed, mitzvos de oraisa. One is Birkas HaMazon, and the others in Devarim here in the beginning of Perek Lamed Beis Pasuk Gimel, Havu Gadol Elokeinu, ascribe greatness to Hashem, Kishem Hashem Ekra, I said the Pasuk backwards, in the name of God I will call. When do you call in the name of God? When you're learning Torah. Kishem Hashem Ekra, Havu Gadol Elokeinu, when I call out in the name of God, I will ascribe greatness to the Lord. But the Gemara says, Chazal say, we have a mitzvah to make Birkas HaTorah. Okay. What is the fundamental, what is the oraisa, what I just said, biblically prescribed? Nancy, a biblical mitzvah. There are different mitzvahs. For example, lighting Chanukah menorah is not a mitzvah de oraisa. You will find nowhere in the Torah that talks about Chanukah. It's a mitzvah de rabbanah. The Gemara Masechta Shabbos, Chof Aleph Aleph, discusses the mitzvah of lighting Chanukah. It's a mitzvah from the sages. So a mitzvah de rabbanah is brought down by the rabbanah, the sages, the Mishnah, the Tanaim, the Gemara, the Amoraim. Then you have all the Achronim who comment, but it's a mitzvah of the sages, like Chanukah, like Purim. The four mitzvahs of Purim, Mishloach Manos, Matanos the Avionim, Achila Su'uda, Mikra Megillah. You're not going to find them in the Torah. There's no Purim in the Torah. These are mitzvahs derabbanan. That means laws, Nancy, enacted by the sages that we keep. But they are of a less stringent nature. So if you have a shaila about keeping a mitzvah, one thing that the rabbi is going to want to know is if you're talking about a deraisa or a derabanan, because, for example, there's two very serious fast days in our calendar. There's a number of fast days, two very, very serious ones. One is Tisha B'Av, and one is Yom Kippur, which is held to a much higher exacting level in terms of paskin and halach. I'm not talking about a chol l'shesh b'sakan and someone on their deathbed or in an extreme situation, but in general, which one is more stringent? Tisha B'Av or Yom Kippur? They're both serious, but Yom Kippur, because Yom Kippur is a deoraisa from the Torah, and Tisha B'Av is from the sages. So deoraisa is the Aramaic word for Torah. Okay, what is the fundamental difference between these two brachos, which are both deoraisa? One is to bench, what we call grace after meals, Birkat HaMazon, blessing the mazon, the sustenance of food, and the other is Birkas HaTorah, Torah learning. What's the difference? What's the fundamental difference, besides for the fact that they are on two different things in our lives, one is on food and one is on Torah learning, fine. What's the difference between them? Okay, I'm going to say, since no one's typing or talking, Birkas HaMazon, which appears in Devarim Parakhas, so let's go in chronological order, is said when? When do you make the bracha of Birkas HaMazon? After you eat. Very good. Okay. Very good. Sima Gafen, very good. You're the one who answered Birkas HaTorah, and now you're answering, did you hear Rabbi Zavlev share this? I heard a while ago, but it made such an impression on me. So Rabbi Zavlev points out that Birkas HaMazon de Oraisa is made after you eat. Now, the Rabbanim come along and say, make a bracha before you eat also. But I'm not talking about the Rabbanim right now. I'm talking about according to the Torah. When do you bless on food? V'achalta, you ate. V'savata, you're satiated. Uveirachta, now you make a blessing. First you eat, then you bless. Yes? Correct? Fact. Pasuk. Straight out pshat. What about Birkas HaTorah? When do we make Birkas HaTorah? Before, in the morning. You're not allowed to learn Torah until you make a bracha. So be very careful with that, by the way. So we have, as part of the Birkas HaShachar in the morning, we have blessings, brachos that we make, that give us permission, so to speak, to benefit from Torah. A bracha, the Gemara says in brachos, lamed hey, lamed aleph, I think, lamed hey, aleph, I believe, that one who eats from this world without making a bracha is like he stole from the sanctified, consecrated things in the Beis HaMikdash. You're not allowed to enjoy anything in Hashem's world. That's what Birkas HaNanin are. Without making a bracha, you see a fruit blossoming tree in Nisan, you make a bracha. Before you can enjoy the beauty of the tree, you have to bless God. So it's the same thing with Birkas HaTorah, with Torah learning. Torah learning brings such tremendous gevaldic enjoyment and chiyus and satiation spiritually and elevation to our lives. How could you enjoy all the benefits of Torah without making a bracha? So the fundamental difference, like Sima Gavin said, is that for Birkas HaTorah, it's a bracha before, and for Birkas HaMazon, it's a bracha after. Why? What do we learn from the fact that we make Birkas HaMazon after we eat and we make Birkas HaTorah before we learn Torah? So Rabbi Zev Lav has a gevaldic answer. Mamish, a tremendous answer. And he says as follows. When a person eats, at which point in the meal do they risk forgetting that there's a Ribbono Shel Olam? Before the meal or after the meal?
Yes.
After. That's exactly right. Why?
Because before the meal you're
Oh, that's exactly right. Because before the meal, you're so hungry that you could come to the point of such hunger that you're going to be, even if there's no atheist in a foxhole, this doesn't apply to any of us, but even an atheist will say, please God, oh my God, I'm so hungry. At some instinctive level, you get to the point of absolute hunger, you're going to remember that there's a Hashem. What happens after v'chalta v'savata? What happens when you get full? It's the same parak chas of Devarim. What does the psukim tell us? V'ram levavcha v'shachata Hashem Elokecha. When your heart becomes elevated, when you become haughty, when you become satiated with physical goodness, that's when you risk forgetting that there's a Ribbono Shel Olam. When you're hungry, when you're starving, you don't forget that there's a God. Please, God, send me food. So you don't need the Torah to instruct you to make a blessing before you eat, because the purpose of the bracha is to remember that there's a Hashem, and before you, of course, you remember that there's a Hashem. After you risk forgetting that there's a Ribbono Shel Olam, because now you think, Kochi v'otzem yadi, Yisrael Yisachai Yazah, it's the same parachas. It's such a beautiful parak and Devarim parachas. It's so beautiful. Now you risk thinking, ha, the strength and might of my hand, maybe all this wealth. So the Torah says, ah, you're full, you're satiated, you ate a good meal, bless Hashem. Don't forget that there's a Ribbono Shel Olam. Are you ready for the Chiddush? Lahafach Torah learning. When do you risk forgetting that there's a Ribbono Shel Olam? Before you learn. Before you start learning Torah, it's possible to go your whole life, through all of your days, forgetting that there's a God. There's culture, there's magazines, there's TV, there's Hollywood, there's sports teams, there's movies, there's fancy restaurants, there's carving stations and sushi bars, there's vacations and there's cruise ships, and some of the things could be totally kosher, and go ahead and enjoy them. But the problem is that before a person learns Torah, he is so disconnected, he doesn't even remember that there's a Ribbono Shel Olam. After a person starts learning Torah, says Rabbi Zev Lev, there's no way you could forget that there's a Ribbono Shel Olam. Once you start learning a little bit of Torah, it's so sweet. It's sweeter than the drippings of a honeycombs, says David HaMelech. You can't possibly forget that there's a Ribbono Shel Olam. The minute you start learning Torah, it has a spiritually addictive quality. You just want to learn more and more. You want to uncover more and more secrets, more and more illusions. And illusions and secrets and ramazim and drash and pshat and life lessons. So now we understand the two brachos from the Torah. They're both to prevent us from forgetting that there's a Ribbono Shel Olam in this world. One is Birkas HaMazon after we eat. One is Birkas HaTorah before we learn. What is the difference? The Torah is very aware of human nature, and they know that the Yetzer is very strong. And there's times when a person can forget that there's a Ribbono Shel Olam. When it comes to eating, it's easier to forget the Ribbono Shel Olam after you eat. Now that I'm satiated, I'm so smart. I'm so good at my job. I make so much money. It's not me saying this. Parachas. Kochi v'otzem yadi yisrael yisachai yazah. And therefore, you risk forgetting that there's a Ribbono Shel Olam. Therefore, when do you need a bracha on eating? After you eat. But when it comes to learning Torah, you only risk forgetting that there's a Ribbono Shel Olam before you learn. Once a person starts learning, it is impossible to forget that there's a Ribbono Shel Olam. Because the Torah is so majestic, it's greater than the Rockies, and it's greater than I don't know, the geysers in the national parks, and it's more vast than the Grand Canyon. I've never been to any of those, and I would like to be by some of them at one point in my life, because to see the Niflois HaBorah, but if you really want to see the Niflois HaBorah, open up a Sefer, open up a Chumash, open up a Rashi, and you will see the tremendous nature of Torah. And therefore, you risk forgetting Torah before you start learning. Once you start learning, you can never forget that this is Ribbono Shel Olam, and that's what Birkas HaTorah D'Oraisa is, before you learn. And Birkas HaMazon D'Oraisa is after you learn. It's so gewaldic. Okay, did I explain it well? Yes? Good. Okay, beautiful. Let's go back to the Sefer. Why did I think of this when I was preparing? Because the last thing I read from the Sefer is continue searching until you discover the deepest reason. Remember, we're talking about mindfulness in Torah learning. Continue searching until you discover the deepest reason for wanting to learn Torah. And that is, I want to learn because Hashem said I should. There's a reason that we're learning. There's a reason God put us here. We have to know it is our life and length of our days. And then when you start learning, you should turn to Hashem and you should say, Master of the world, it's clear to me that deep down my neshama really wants to learn Torah. Ritzoneinu lasot ritzoncha, brachos yud zayin aleph, right? Yes. Our will is really to do your will. If your will is that you want us to learn Torah, then it's clear to me that my neshama really wants to learn Torah, even though I don't feel this ratzon. So even though you might not feel the ratzon, one time you don't feel like going to shir. One evening you feel tired, you had a long day, you're whatever, you want to read a magazine, you don't want to tune in tonight, because why should I bother? So that's really not, whether it's, I don't mean to this year, I mean to any year that you're part of. Really, that's just the Yetzer Hara, because the true Yetzer Tov is that a Jewish neshama always wants to connect to Torah. It's not possible that you don't want to connect to Torah, because Yisrael Arayza Kedisha Israel, Torah, and the Almighty are one. So if we're all one, how could your neshama not want to come back to the one source, which is God and Torah? Obviously, everybody wants to learn Torah. That's deep down. And therefore, if you feel you don't want to learn Torah, you should say, Master of the world, it's clear to me deep down my neshama really does want to learn Torah, because I'm so thirsty for it. We have a thirst and a hunger, not for food and not for water, but rather to hear the word of Hashem. Even though I might not feel the ratzon, so I feel tired, I want to do this instead, I want to do that instead, I push myself to go and learn, because this is really the ratzon of Hashem. I'm going to screen share a beautiful piece from the Chofetz Chaim. One second. I just have to find it. Here we go. Okay, could you see? Yeah? Okay, so it's just easier for me to teach instead of slapping the Sefer, which I have at home. I should have said that in Nanai. So that sounded Nanai. I said it in Nanai. Instead of carrying an extra Sefer with me, that's what I put on the screen. You could either just listen or you could follow along, whatever. It's more for me than for you. Okay, more than money. This is from the biography of the Chofetz Chaim. I've quoted from it from... Oh, Nancy, you asked the question. Last week we didn't have shir, right? Yes, we did. Yes, we did. And you asked the question and we ended up going off into a tangent. I remember the Chofetz Chaim teaches just because a person cannot be perfect does not negate his responsibility to try and be good. We spoke about that last week. That was from the same Sefer. It's a biography of the Chofetz Chaim by Rabbi Emma Mielscher, but it's not like the published biographies today, which I enjoy all of them, and I read through them, but it's a much more comprehensive. It's like 600 pages, very small letters, lots of words per page. It's a biography of the Chofetz Chaim, with a lot of Torah lessons also. Okay, so let's go. So this is from that Sefer Chofetz Chaim by Rabbi Emma Mielscher, article biography. Once we understand the inherent difference between seeking money and searching for a treasure, we can also understand the difference in the Chumash, in scriptures, in Tanakh. Okay? He quotes a pasuk from Mishlei. You could see it in my own handwriting. The pasuk says in Mishlei, Perek Beis, pasuk Hey, Az Tavin Yiras Hashem, Bina, Az Tavin Yiras Hashem, then you will understand fear of God. Vida'as Elokim Timtza, and knowledge of God you will find. So Mishlei, Proverbs of Shlomo, King Shlomo, is describing two different levels of wisdom. One is Bina, and one is da'as. We daven for this every day in the Shemon Esrei. Bina is intuition or understanding, I guess you could call it, and da'as is knowledge. So, as tavin yiras Hashem, when it comes to yiras Hashem being God-fearing, you will have bina, intuition. V'da'as elukim timtza, when it comes to finding God, you will have da'as. Okay, so now, The Chafetz Chaim teaches, for reverent fear, when it comes to Yiras Hashem, it uses the term understanding, bina. Then you will understand the fear of Hashem. But for knowledge of God, it tells you timtza, you will find the knowledge of God. So the Chafetz Chaim is going to expand upon why the Pasuk uses two different categories. When it comes to fear of God, we need bina. Discernment, understanding, intuition. When it comes to Das Elokim, knowing God, you have to search and find. For understanding, Bina applies to new cognition of reality that has been attained. I don't know why on this Zoom account I cannot point. On my personal Zoom account, it's so nice. I have like a pointer that I enjoy using very much to show you where I'm up to. And on this Zoom account, I don't have it, and I don't know why it doesn't have it. Okay, well, there's nothing I could do. So I'm in the first paragraph, in the middle of the paragraph. For understanding, bina applies to new cognition of a reality that has already been attained. And such indeed is the reverent fear of Hashem. It's a new cognition, a new thought process, a new understanding of a reality you have already attained. So you've attained the reality, there is a reality of Yiras Hashem. You have a new cognition of it. A person has no preordained share in it, but you are capable of acquiring this mode of perception upon seeking it as he would seek to gain money. So how would you seek to gain money? If you had an opportunity to, right now, at this very moment, go find $10 million, I don't know, there's a supermarket hunt and you're one of two winners and both of you will hunt and you're both going to get half an hour and the winner's going to come out with $10 million. I'm pretty sure that everyone say, I'll listen to the recording on Mayu Torah. Thank you very much. Thank God for technology so I could catch it. But I missed. I'm going to go try and seek $1 million. So what does the Chafetz Chaim say? A person has no preordained share, but when it's talking about Das Hashem, Yiras Hashem, but we are capable of acquiring this mode of perception just upon seeking it, as you would seek to gain money. How would you seek to gain money? With all your might, with all your talent, with all your abilities. That's how you should seek to gain fear of God and knowledge of God. The method being contemplation and concentration of the mind with purity of heart and cleansing of the spirit. Contemplation. That's everything that we've been talking about for the past 3 months. Contemplation. What is the method of acquiring Yiras Hashem? Contemplation. That's exactly what the author's talking about. Mindfulness and concentration of the mind. Concentrate before you eat. Contemplate before you daven. Pay attention before you learn. With purity of heart and cleansing of the spirit. So if a person concentrates and contemplates, which is exactly what our author is trying to teach us, with a pure heart and cleansing of spirit, we will come to the point of Yiras Hashem, reverent fear of God. On the other hand, finding timtza is applicable to something which came into existence at some past time, but is concealed and hidden at present. I'm just wondering, can you see when I highlight with blue on my screen? You could. Okay, fine. So if I can't have a pointer, this is fine. This is good. Okay, fine. On the other end, the second half of the pasuk is Vida'as Elokim Timsa, knowledge of God you will find. So now the Chafetz Chaim explains, on the other end, finding Timsa is applicable to something which came into existence at some past time, but is concealed and hidden at the present. So there was this existence at some previous time of this matter. It's now concealed and hidden, but it is revealed by searching for it. So it's like a treasure that's hidden. So I'll give you an example that it reminds me of, only because Pesach is on our minds. The Afikomen. So the Afikomen is applicable. It came into existence at some past time. By Yachatz, we came into the existence of the Afikomen. But then it is hidden and concealed. Safun means hidden or concealed. It is revealed by searching for it. That's a beautiful sentence. That sounds like it's exactly talking about the Afikomen. So if you want da'as, if you want knowledge of the Afikomen, what does that mean? Timsa, you have to find it. What does timsa mean? It's something which came into existence at some past time. So when you get up to Tzafun, that's exactly right. When did Afikomen come into existence? Back by Yachatz, Kadesh Urchatz. The fourth thing we do at the Seder is break the middle matzah. But it is concealed and hidden at the present, and it is only revealed by searching for it. Okay? This aptly, so it's perfect. I mean, it's mamish describing the Afikomen, even though that has nothing to do with the Chafetz Chaim is talking about. That's an allusion to the Afikomen as well. This also applies to knowledge of God, Da'as Elokim. And what is knowledge of God? The Torah. You can see how appropriate this excerpt is. It's on page 315 of the biography for the topic we are learning, because the Chafetz Chaim is speaking about contemplation and concentration, purity of mind, cleansing spirit. And if you want knowledge of God, Da'as Elokim Timtza, we are talking about finding the knowledge of God through Torah. Every member of the Jewish people has an allotted portion in Torah. You should not say, I can't learn. Yagati lo matzati al tamin. If someone tells you, I exerted myself to learn Torah, I searched for it and I couldn't find it, al tamin. Yagati lo matzati al tamin. It's not true. Because the pasuk tells you, Mishlei v'das elokim timtza. If you search for knowledge of God, you will find it. So how could someone come and say, I searched and I didn't find it? It's not true. If you generally search for Torah, if you want to find Torah, you will absolutely find it. Therefore, Yagati lo matzati al tamin. It's not possible. This applies to knowledge of God, which is Torah. Every member of the Jewish people has an allotted portion of Torah. Now, our levels are different. It doesn't mean I could sit in a high-level Gemara share and understand what's going on. But our levels of learning are different. Our levels of Das and Bina are different. But every member of the Jewish people, because your neshama is one with God and Torah, you have an allotted portion in Torah, which he can find after he searches for it, as if you search for buried treasure. For example, let's say someone tells you, in this backyard, they put you in the backyard, and you have a free pass on the backyard, and they tell you that it's not a lie, it's not a scam, it's a true story, there's a treasure buried in this backyard. And it's, 100 gold bars. Okay? And you know it's true. It's true. This is just a story. Rabbi Zavlov says, it's just a mashal, I made it up so I could say whatever I want. So don't say, what if it's not true? I'm telling you it is true. I made it up so I could say whatever I want, says Rabbi Zavlev. It's true. The person is very honest or very trustworthy. They swear on the Bible, don't ever do that, that it's absolutely true that there's a hidden treasure in this backyard. So if you search for 5 minutes and you don't find it, are you going to go home? No, you're going to keep searching because you know that there's 100 gold bars in this backyard. So you're going to keep searching. You're not going to give up. Yagati lo matzati al ta'amin. You didn't try hard enough. What do you mean you didn't find it? So you're going home after 5 minutes, after 10 minutes, after half an hour, keep searching. You have the whole backyard. Go buy a metal detector. Ask someone to come and help you. Give your friend a shovel and a spade. You're going to start digging. Why? Because you want to find the treasure. The Chavetz Chaim says every member of the Jewish people has an allotted portion in Torah. V'das Elokim Timtza, which he will find, Timtza, after he searches for it, as one must search for a buried treasure. So therefore, if a person doesn't want to learn, our author says you should try and contemplate why you don't want to learn. And if you do want to learn, you should try and think why you do want to learn. And the ultimate reason is, I want to learn because Hashem said I shall learn, and I have a portion in Torah. To sum up regarding the acquisition of these two things, says the Chavetz Chaim, Torah and the reverent fear of heaven. By the way, they go hand in hand. Torah learning, Torah living, goes hand in hand with Yiras Hashem, reverent fear of heaven. An obligation lies on the person to act concerning them as he would act regarding a material acquisition. If you had a very precious family heirloom, I don't know, maybe it doesn't financially have a lot of money, but it has a lot of sentimental value, and it's a family heirloom that's been passed down for so many generations. Would you just let it go? Would you just neglect it? Would you say, I'm too tired to watch it, so I'm too tired to carry it inside the house, so I'll put it in the street and vandals will come and get it? You definitely would not say that. Why would you say, I'm going to go to every effort to protect this? So too, Torah. Why don't we go to every effort to protect the Torah? We let this Yetzer Hara talk us out of it, and that Yetzer, and I have this to do. Of course, we all have things to do, but the first thing that we have to do is Das Elokim Timtza. We have to search for Das Elokim, which is Torah. We have to have knowledge of God, which is Torah. You will find it if you search. How should you search? As if you would act regarding a material acquisition. A human being is not content to make do with what he financially has, physically. He always strives to obtain more and more. 1 second, what's the comment? Okay, a human being is not content with what he physically has. He always wants more and more. As scripture says, now he quotes Koheles. So Chavetz Chaim begins by quoting Mishnah. Now we're quoting Koheles, both teachings of Shlomo Melech. He who loves money will not be satisfied with money. Ohev kesef lo yispa kesef. One who loves money will never be satisfied with money. What does that mean? So Rashi on Koheles says, one who loves mitzvos will not be satisfied with mitzvos. You'll never have enough of them. It's a positive. Oh, if Kesev lo yispa Kesev, Rashi says this should teach you about our approach to mitzvos. If you really love mitzvos, oh, if mitzvos lo yispa mitzvos, you'll never say I had enough. I heard a shir last week. I don't hear a shir this week. You're never going to say that. Why? Because only, says Rabbi Zev left, before you start learning Torah, do you risk forgetting Hashem. Once you start learning Torah, you can't possibly. The Torah is so amazing. It's so profound. It's deeper than the entire galaxy of the Milky Way, which is so deep you can't even fathom what that means. It's more infinite than infinity. How could you not want to learn once you start learning? And just like you would seek, you would say, thank you very much. I'm glad you're recording and putting on YU Torah. I'm going into that contest and I'm going to find the $10 million. I'm going to dig in that backyard until I find the 100 gold bars. That's what it should be about Das Elokim Timsa. O Zuk Kohalas, O Hev Kesef Lo Yispa Kesef, Zuk Rashi. It's a lesson for mitzvos. One who loves mitzvos will never be satiated. He will never have enough. It's like a Baal's Chesed. You know, sometimes you know a person of Chesed and they just want to do more and more and more Chesed. They're fueled by acts of Gemidas Chesedim. Why? Because Lo Yispa. If a person has 100, he wants 200. So if a person has $100, he wants $200. If a person has 100 mitzvos, if he desires Torah, lahavda, the way he desires money, if he has 100 mitzvos, he wants 200 mitzvos. So to a man who has strive and exert himself to rise from level to level in Torah learning and reverent fear of the Creator. Yes, very nice. That's why we read each parsha more than once. First of all, Shtayim Mikra ve'Echad Targum. The basic minimum is to read it twice. Plus, we already read it Mincha, Monday, and Thursday, because we're constantly reviewing, because we constantly want more and more. Very nice, Nancy. If that's our approach to physical acquisitions, how much more so should our approach be to the spiritual acquisition of learning Torah? That's what the Chavetz Chaim interprets, Az Tavin Yiras Hashem. When it comes to reverent fear of God, you must have bina, understanding, v'das Elokim Timsa, because you will find knowledge of God. If you want to find Torah, you will find Torah. If someone comes and says, I searched but I couldn't find it, you're not allowed to believe him. It means they didn't do an adequate search. It's the treasure's in the yard. I'm giving you free reign. There's no time limit. There's no caveat. There's no catch. There's no if and but. There's no fine print. I am telling you that there's a treasure. You're going to walk away after 10 minutes. You're not even going to walk away after an hour. You'll take a drink. You'll have some lemonade. You'll sit in the shade. You're going to go back to searching. Torah is much more accessible than that treasure. All you have to do is do a little bit. Just give God a little bit of your ratzon and he will open up the vast sea of Torah to you. In reality, continues the Chavetz Chaim, even this isn't enough. There is one more step you should be willing to take. Remember, we're talking about contemplation when approaching Torah study, mindfulness when approaching Torah study. This piece by the Chavetz Chaim is so relevant to what we are learning in the Sefer. In reality, even this isn't enough. There is one more step he should be willing to take. What step should he be willing to take? If he should fall, heaven forbid, from his spiritual level and lose his spiritual wealth and attainment. So let's say the HR is very strong. He's very strong. I'm well acquainted with mine. You might be well acquainted with yours. He's a strong opponent. And let's say it so happens that he wins over you and you lose your spiritual wealth and attainment. It happens. What's the greatest risk when you lose your spiritual wealth and attainment? You become fed up with yourself. You become upset at yourself. You think, I can never do anything right. Why bother? That's the biggest danger. That's the next tactic of the Yetzer Hara. Says the Chavetz Chaim, he should not become downcast. He should not give way to despair. He should act as he would in material matters. If his affairs in business and trade faltered, if a person lost his money, he's going to go back and he's going to try and make more money. He's going to go from the lowest rung on the business ladder until he rises again to a respectable rank in society. He's going to do whatever he can to reach his former standing. So in Gashmis, we never say, oh, we had enough. We say we want more and more and more. So too in Torah. And even if a person loses a spiritual level, and we shouldn't think that's not me, because the Yetzer Hara, the greater person, the stronger the Yetzer, I think it's Masechah Sukkah 52b, The greater the person, the stronger the HR. So that means everyone. It's hard to imagine, but the Gedolim in this piece, Vayikra, I'm definitely not going to get to it tonight. Rav Avigdor Miller talks about Moshe Rabbeinu as a human being who is able to conquer his Yetzer. So we all have it. And if the Yetzer Hara manages to make you fall in Ruchnias, the next thing he's going to do is tell you, look how bad you are. Look what a T-pace you are. Look how low you are. Why even bother? The Chavetz Chaim says a person has to know he should not become downcast. Don't give way to despair. Sin's going to happen. It's going to happen. Ein tzaddik b'aretz asher lo yechta. I quoted from Avigdor Miller. There's no such thing as a tzaddik on the earth, a land who does not sin. Don't give up. So the mashal of Gashmius acquisition is very apropos for the nimshah of Torah study. Just like you would go after a physical treasure, so too you should go after Torah. And that's why if someone tells you, Gati lo matzati al tamin, you're not allowed to believe him. If he says, I searched, but I didn't find it, you're not allowed to believe him. It's not possible. If you really search for Torah, you'll find it. Says the Pasuk of Mishlei 2:5, Das Elokim Timtza. It's a guarantee. You will find it if you search for it. You will. So too, how we approach Gashmias. And, says the Chavetz Chaim, let's say you fall from a spiritual level, you should have charata, part of the process of teshuvah. You should take upon yourself Kabbalah alas. You need to have regret. You need to take resolve for the future. But you also need to not become so downcast that you throw it all away. Okay, the Chavetz Chaim continued. Yeush means despair, correct. That's right, we should not have Yeush. A cold dash of water. The Chavetz Chaim continued his heartfelt Mussar talk by giving an example from an actual occurrence. So now the Chavetz Chaim relates an actual Maisa. A young man who had been very industrious and a conscientious student at the yeshiva got married. Okay, and the yeshiva in Radin, apparently. Eventually, the burden of raising a family and taking care of his business affairs compelled him to give up spending time in Torah study. So he used to be a big masman in the yeshiva, and then he got married, and he had less and less time, and then he was raising a family. And then, unfortunately, what happened to his Torah learning? It fell by the wayside. One day, the Chavetz Chaim met him, and he chided him, and he said, just because you find it hard to continue studying Torah as assiduously as you used to do, can you justify abandoning the Torah completely? You should at least join a study group in the synagogue that learns a folio of Talmud, a block Gemara every day, or at least a chapter of Mishnah. Anything, as long as you don't go with any Torah study at all. So the person used to be such a masmid. Maybe he did 7 blot a day, I don't know. Maybe he had a lot of chovos, like Rav Chaim Kanievsky, Zechut Salav Kodesh of Vracha, Zuchus Yagan Leidu, had all his chovos. So now you're busy with family and you're busy with Parnas. So learn something, learn a Mishnah a day. That's embarrassing to tell somebody who was learning all day to learn a Mishnah day. The man's embarrassed. The young man replied apologetically, and he said, sorry, this kind of paltry Torah study, this means nothing to me. I used to study for 10 hours a day. I learned 20 block Gemara intensively. I had a profound grasp of the material, he said to the Chavetz Chaim. What worth is there is learning one chapter of Mishnayos? I should learn one Amud or one Daf. Well, Amud is one side, a Daf is two sides of Gemara. That's what you're telling me to learn? I used to learn 20 Dapim. What value does that have in my eyes? I would rather wait till I can succeed in getting free of my business affairs. Then I'll return to diligent study as I used to do in the years gone by. Okay, so I don't think I'm going to learn such a nebuch amount now. I used to be a big masmid. I learned 20 blot a day. You're telling me to learn a parak of Mishnayos. This is embarrassing for someone of my level. I'll devote myself to business and raising my family. And when I'm finished, I will learn. Well, Victor Miller says something very cute. Not meant to be cute, but humorous. The way he talks is cute. Many times, says Rabbi Victor Miller, young people come to me. Oh no, I shouldn't be interrupting Chavetz Chaim because I don't have... I'm out of time. Many times young people come to me with problems with their Yetzer Hara. And they ask me, listen to this, Rabbi Victor Miller. I'm taking a break for a minute from the Chavetz Chaim. Many times young people come to me with problems with the Yetzer Hara. They say, how long will I have to struggle with the Yetzer Hara? So I answer them, it's only the first 120 years. Quote, Tarsha Vigdar Vayikra, 5783. How long? Listen, Rabbi, how long am I going to have to deal with this Yetzer? It's okay, I tell them. It's only the first 120 years. What else could I say? That's the plain truth. Just make up your mind. It's a permanent feature of the landscape. It's going to be around as long as you are around. Of course, you shouldn't yield to it. You can't fail. Besides, those who give it more dominion over them, they become more enslaved. And the more enslaved you are, the more dominion you give it, the bigger you fight you have. But everybody, as long as he is alive, will have this test in life. Because that's what this life is for. This life is to be tested. How long, Rabbi, do I have to deal with this? It's just the first 120 years. So a person should never say, I searched and I didn't find. It's not true. If you searched adequately, if you searched appropriately, v'das Elokim timtza, you will find knowledge of God. V'tispon in yiras Hashem, you will contemplate being God-fearing, you will find knowledge of God. So why do we have two brachos d'oraisa that are totally opposed in when we make them? Benching, we say, after we're full. Birkas Torah, we say before we learn. Says Rabbi Zev Lev Shlita, you risk forgetting God when you're satiated, when you're full. You think, I'm amazing, I'm smart, I'm powerful, I know how to put stocks on the stock market, that's why I'm eating. Oh, so now that you're satiated, you have to bless God. But what about Torah learning? It's so tremendous. You make the bracha before you learn. Why? When do you risk forgetting God? Before you learn. But once a person starts learning the gems of Torah, there is no way you could possibly forget that there is a Ribono Shel Olam. And at different times in our life, we have more time. At different times, we have less time. But the Chavetz Chaim is saying, if you used to learn 20 blat, and now you can only learn one Perek Mishnayis, at least learn one Perek Mishnayis. Don't give up totally, because that lets the Yetzer Hara win. But if the Yetzer Hara does win, you still shouldn't give up totally. Just like you would go searching for more money. If you lost that money, you would search for more money. So too, if you lost that battle, you should go search and continue to search. Be'ezras Hashem, halavai v'shana hazos, halavai v'shana hazos b'yushalayim habenuya, v'mheira b'karav b'yameinu, and b'nisa nigal, b'nisa nasidin nigal. Hopefully after Yom Tov we will resume in Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh. I wish you all an amazing, uplifting, spiritually rewarding, physically satiating, mindful in your eating, in your davening, and in your Torah learning, and all the Devei Torah you share on Leil HaSeder. Yom Tov, El Chag Kasher V'Sameach, Li'ilui Nishmas, Merim Frod, Merim Baschaim Yitzchak, Allah Shalom, Rashama Shev and Aliyah. She continues to be an advocate, Latova, on behalf of all of us who learn in her memory and her merit. Thank you so much, everybody. Good Shabbos and good Yom Tov. Kol Tov.